Heimdall and Little Hnossa, How All Things Came to Be. Hnossa, the child of Freya and the lost Odur, was the youngest of all the dwellers in Asgard, and because it had been prophesied that the child would bring her father and her mother together, Little Hnossa was often taken without the City of the Gods to stand by Bifrost, the Rainbow Bridge, so that she might greet Odur if his steps turned towards Asgard. In all the palaces of the City of the Gods, Little Hnossa was made welcome. In Fasanir, the Halls of Mist, where Frigga, the wife of Odin Allfather, sat spinning with golden threads. In Breidablik, where Baldur, the well-beloved, lived with his wife, the young Nanna. In Bilskanir, the Winding House, where Thor and Sif lived. And in Odin's own palace, Valasklav, that was all roofed over with silver shields. The greatest of all the palaces was Gladsheim. That was built by the golden-leaved wood, Glazier. Here the banquets of the gods were held. Often Little Hnossa looked within and saw Odin Allfather seated at the banquet table, with his mantle of blue over him and his shining helmet shaped like an eagle upon his head. Odin would sit there, not eating at all, but drinking the wine of the gods, and taking the food off the table and giving it to Geri and to Friki, the two wolves that crouched beside his seat. She loved to go outside the great gate and stay beside Heimdall, the warder of the Rainbow Bridge. There, when there was no one crossing that she might watch, she would sit beside Heimdall and listen to the wonders that he spoke of. Heimdall held in his hands the horn that was called Gladishorn. He would sound it to let the dwellers in Asgard know that one was crossing the Rainbow Bridge. And Heimdall told Little Hnossa how he had trained himself to hear the grasses grow, and how he could see all around him for hundreds of miles. He could see in the night as well as the day. He never slept. He had 9 mothers, he told Hnossa, and he fed on the strength of the earth and the cold of the sea. As she sat beside him day after day, Heimdall would tell Little Hnossa how all things began. He had lived from the beginning of time and knew all things.
Before Asgard was built, he said, and before Odin lived, earth, sea, and sky were all mixed together. That was when the Chasm of Chasms, and in the north there was Niflheim, the place of deadly cold, and in the south there was Muspelheim, the land of fire. In Niflheim there was a cauldron called the Hagelsmir that poured out 12 rivers that flowed into the Chasm of Chasms. Ginyungap, the Chasm of Chasms, filled with ice, for the waters of the rivers froze as they poured into it, and from Mulsheim came clouds of fire that turned the ice into thick mists. The mists fell down again in drops of dew, and from these drops were formed Ymir, the ancient giant. Ymir, the ancient giant, travelled along by the 12 rivers until he came to where another living thing was standing in the mist. This was a giant cow. Audumlar was the name of that cow. Ymir lay down beside her and drank her milk, and on that milk she gave him he lived. Other beings were being formed of that dew that fell on the ground. They were the daughters of the frost, and Ymir, the ancient giant, married one, and their children were giants. One day Ymir saw Audumlar breathe upon the cliff of ice and lick with her tongue the place she breathed on. As her tongue went over and over the place, he saw that a figure was being formed. It was not like a giant's form. It was more shapely and more beautiful. A head appeared in the cliff, and golden hair fell over the ice. As Ymir looked upon the being that was being formed, he hated him for his beauty. Audumlar, the giant cow, went on licking the place where she had breathed. At last, a man completely formed stepped from the cliff. Ymir, the ancient giant, hated him so much that he would have slain him then and there. But he knew that if he did this, Audumlar would feed him no more with her milk. Burr was the name of the man who was formed in the ice cliff. Burr, the first of the heroes, he too lived on the milk of Audumlar. He married a daughter of the ancient giant, and he had a son. But Ymir and Ymir's sons hated Burr, and the time came when at last they were able to kill him. And now there was a war between Ymir and Ymir's sons, and the sons' sons of Burr. Odin was the son of Burr's son. Odin brought all of his brothers together, and they were able to destroy Ymir and all of his brood, all except one. So huge was Ymir that when he was slain, his blood poured out in such a mighty flood that his sons were all drowned in it. all except Bergelmir, who was in a boat with his wife when the flood came, and who floated away on the flood to the place that we now call Jotunheim, the realm of the gods. Now Odin and his sons took the body of Ymir, the vast body that ever was, and they flung it into the chasm of chasms, filling up all the hollow places with it. They dug out the bones of the body, and they piled them up as mountains. They took the teeth out, and they made them into rocks. And they took the hair of Ymir, and they made it into the forests of trees. They took his eyebrows, and formed them into the place where men now dwell, Midgard. And out of Ymir's hollow skull they made the sky. And Odin and his sons and brothers did more than this. They took the sparks and the clouds of flame that blew from Muspelheim, and they made them into the sun and the moon and all the stars that are in the sky. Odin found a dusky giantess named Night, whose son was called Day, and he gave both of them horses to drive across the sky. Night drove a horse that was named Hermfax, Frosty Mane, and Day drove a horse that was named Skinfax, Shining Mane, and from Hermfax's bit fall the drops that make the dew upon the earth. Then Odin and his sons made a race of men and women, and gave them Midgard to live in. Ugly dwarves that had grown up and had spread themselves over the earth, these Odin made go into the hollow places beneath the earth. The elves he let stay on the earth, but he gave them the tasks of tending the streams and the grasses and the flowers. And with the Vanir he made peace after the war had been raged, taking Njord from them for a hostage. Bergelmir, the giant who escaped the drowning in Ymir's blood, had sons and daughters in Jotunheim. They hated Odin and his sons, and strove against them. When Odin lighted up the world with the sun and the moon, they were very wroth, and they found two of the fiercest of the mightiest wolves of Jotunheim, and set them to follow them. And still the sun and the moon, Sol and Mani, are followed by the wolves of Jotunheim.
Such wonders did Heimdall with the golden teeth tell Hnossa, the youngest of the dwellers in Asgard. Often the child stayed with him by the rainbow bridge, and saw the gods pass to and fro from Midgard. Thor, with his crown of stars, with the great hammer Mjolnir in his hands, with the gloves of iron that he used to grasp Mjolnir. Thor, in his chariot drawn by two goats, and wearing the belt that doubled his strength. Frigga, with her dress of falcon feathers, flying swiftly as a bird. Odin Allfather himself, riding upon Sleipnir, his eight-legged steed, clad all in gold armour, with his golden helmet shaped like an eagle upon his head, and with his spear Gungnir in his hand. Heimdall kept his horn in the branch of a great tree. This was called Yggdrasil, he told little Hnossa, and it was a wonder to gods and men.
No one knows of a time when Yggdrasil was not growing, and all are afraid to speak of a time when it will be destroyed. Yggdrasil has three roots. One goes deep under Midgard, another goes under the Jotunheim, and the third goes above Asgard. Over Odin's hall the branch of Yggdrasil grows, and it is called the Peace Bough. You see Yggdrasil, little Hnossa, but you do not know all the wonders of it. Far up in its branches four stags graze. They shake from their horns the water that falls as rain upon the earth. Upon the topmost branch of the Yggdrasil, the branch that is so high that the gods themselves can hardly see it, there is an eagle that knows all things. Upon the beak of this eagle is a hawk perched, a hawk that sees what the eyes of the eagle may not see. The root of Yggdrasil that is in Midgard goes deep down to the place of the dead. Here there is an evil dragon named Nithog that gnaws constantly at the root, striving to destroy Yggdrasil, the tree of trees. And Ratatosk, the squirrel of mischief, behold him now, runs up and down Yggdrasil, making trouble between the eagle above and the dragon below. He goes to tell the dragon how the eagle is bent upon tearing him to pieces, and he goes back to tell the eagle how the dragon plans to devour him. The stories that he brings Nihog make the evil dragon more fierce to destroy Yggdrasil, the tree of trees, so that he may come upon the eagle and devour him. There are two wells by the roots of the Yggdrasil, and one is above and one is below. One is beside the root that grows in Jotunheim. This is the well of knowledge, and it is guarded by old Mimir the Wise. Whoever drinks out of this well knows all things that will come to be. The other is a well by the root that grows above Asgard. No one may drink out of this well. the three sisters that are the holy Norns guard it, that they take the white water from it to water Yardasil, that the tree of life may keep green and strong. This well, little Nosa, is what is called Urda's well.
And little Nosa heard that by Urda's well there were two beautiful white swans. They made music that the dwellers in Asgard often heard, but little Nosa was too young to hear the music that was made by the swans of Urda's well.
This podcast was created under the attribution non-commercial share-alike 4.0 license. Music, A Viking's Tale, was downloaded from Shutterstock and is performed by Zeonium.